Mount your dragons and draw your swords. It's Game of Microphones. With Sir Duncan the Fearsome. And Lady Rachel of House Fox.
Well met, and welcome to Game of Microphones. I'm Lord Sterling, Sir Duncan the Fearsome, here with my co-hosts, Lord Zach of House Bruce, and Archmaester Stitches from the Luminescent Citadel on the Siren Isle. How you guys doing this afternoon, this evening?
I don't know, man. Great characters.
Dude, Zach, was that not the craziest episode?
I'm at a total loss for words. Just completely
epic.
Mentally epic. Warped.
So epic.
Oh, it's fucking awesome, man.
I don't even know where to begin with that madness, honestly. Whew. I was not expecting Danny to go full crazy like that, man.
Fucking Daenerys, man. That's a great place to start. Let's do it.
Oh, man. So it starts off, and Jon Snow learns or gets confronted by Varys, who attempts to turn him, essentially. He's plotting a coup, and Tyrion just so happens to be watching from the ledge above and is not letting that shit fly.
Mm-mm. Man. So, I guess... I mean, damn, John, why didn't you just, get her laid? Maybe she would have chilled out a little more. I don't know. So did anybody else catch the right before the theme song where they did like that montage of everything and it ended on Viserys?
Yeah.
Like, don't want to wake the dragon. End.
Oh, with Viserys. Yep. Yeah, that was crazy. I noticed that too. They basically gave away the twist.
Yeah, gave it away right there, but yep. You still wouldn't have expected it. I was like, I looked at my wife, I was like, man, I can't believe they already freaking just like, why are they referencing that asshole? And then it's just like, okay,
something's about
it. I mean, did you really, really think you would end like with, damn it, Danny, and oh my God, Cersei's getting crushed.
Crushed alive with Jaime.
There's no predictability to this whatsoever.
It was whatsoever.
Perfect.
Total craziness. They put Viserys. They put what Varys had said several seasons ago about when the Targaryen's born.
Yeah, flip a coin.
Or somebody said it. They put all that in the previously on Game of Thrones for the casual fan to remember. You know that half Targaryens are mad or whatever. But,
dude.
Yeah, they kind of gave it away a little bit for the super fan, which I feel like we all are definitely in the ranks of the
for
super
sure.
fans.
As soon as I heard those quotes, I knew where it was going. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening.
Danny,
early on in the episode.
Character.
Is or was?
was. So I was just praying and hoping that they weren't really going to take her there. So the whole episode, I'm just like,
So this whole time you've been cheering for the bad guy, people.
I know,
the
right?
tyrant. When she rose up out of the pits, when she got her dragons out of the House of Undying. That whole time you're cheering for the tyrant,
dude.
Oh,
she fucking obliterated
daughter.
King's Landing. Yeah, big time. Apparently, wow.
Let's pull that Vader thing. I will finish. What you started, Kylo to Vader. I got you, Pops.
She was even exploding the wildfire and everything, too, by the end of the episode. Like, any of those hidden caches were all being exploded.
Yeah, oh, yeah, man. That was a neat touch.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Green flames coming out of nowhere, and you're like, damn. She's, done everything the Mad King could have done, but even further, accelerated it far beyond what he was even capable of. Total destruction of King's Landing, dude. Total destruction.
Yeah, is gone.
It's gone.
It got worse and worse. You know, Cersei was watching it for a while, and Dany was just going, Jon, basically up and down the streets, working from the walls towards the Red Keep. And she's just, burn it all. Burn them all.
Dude, I thought for sure, like, that when the bells started ringing and everything, I thought it was going to be Cersei who, like, mimicked the Mad King and, like, gave the order to the pyromancers or something. But I could, you know, like, Dany's sitting on Drogon on the edge of the wall there, mm-hmm. and it kept showing a close-up mm-hmm. of her face, and she's got, like, ash streaked across it, and she just looked like she was so pissed. And, like, then she starts looking at the Red Keep. I was like, oh, man, she's about to just go right for it. And she just trashed everything, dude. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I said, there's your target. Go to the Red Keep. But no, she burnt all the civilians.
Yeah, what? Oh. What was she thinking?
Dude, that shot gave it away. Like, I mean, the last shot you see of her of the whole episode, besides like a spot on the back of a dragon, but like when she's just gone. Like, they might as well have been playing like way up here, high octave, like violins in her head when they zoomed in that moment, because she was just done, gone. Like, snapped.
For sure. Totally snapped.
Like, she had already burned up all those scorpions and ballistas, and I think that was already, like, burning in her, and she just looked at all of this, and she heard the bells, and I guarantee she's like, this is a trick. It's a trick. I must do, you know, Dracarys. They took, you know, I mean, there's no telling, like, what kind of symbiotic high she was on with her dragon in that moment.
And I think that she was also just so frustrated that all she's gotten from people in Westeros is fear and no love. Even the person that she loved had seemingly like turned against her, you know, and rejected her love. And so she went from mm-hmm. embracing love and being a loved character to saying, you want fear? I'll give you fear. Fuck all of you people that didn't appreciate what I did for you. And, you know, like showed up and sacrificed like good chunks of my army just to keep you all alive, and you're all rejecting my love, and just, you know,
jeez Louise, crazy. Yeah,
so much for me thinking that next week's going to be an epilogue.
Right. I know, right? Next week it's who can kill Dany, right? Next week, that's what the episode, the name of the game is. Next week,
I guess that's what they're going to be shooting for. Anthony J. Eloquent says, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yes, I was thinking that too towards the end of the episode. I just kept repeating in my mind. I almost like posted it. You either die the hero, but then I decided against it because it'd be too spoilery potentially.
Right.
Too obvious.
Yeah, definitely. But
the perfect quote for the occasion. Sorry, Johnny, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I was just going to step back from the Daenerys thing for a minute to say that, dude, how bad is it that Sandor goes down in flames?
Oh, man.
I mean, I know it was epic, but I told you last week, I was like, don't end in a stalemate. And, you know, I mean,
dude, he stabbed him right through the head, and he was still alive.
How about the look of that monster, though, man? Like, where all the spots of rot had shown and, like, hardened over.
Oh, my God. God, dude.
And showing it like Frankenstein's monster, dude, paralleled there for a second with throwing Qyburn like down. Just,
Yeah.
So good.
Derek Pacheco says the vision in the House of the Undying will be true. We all knew the Red Keep was coming down because of it. Jon or Arya finishes Dany's true path next week. Ooh, interesting.
I think that Arya is going to have PTSD enough to like ride off into the sunset. I don't think she's going to be the one that takes her out.
Oh man.
I think this is going to make her go pious. Like this Super is what she pious. Needed. Like baptism by fire and blood and death. Like, okay, I'm out. I'm good. Thank you, Sandor. I'm gone. I can't get out of this. You know,
that's
and it's
funny,
like the
man.
gods gave her like a white horse to like ride out. You know, it's gotta be Jon and Dany now. It has to, man. If Arya kills the Night King and then turns around and kills Daenerys. It's just, I don't know, man.
Dude. Jon knew that shit was fucked. You know what I mean? He recognized that Danny's gone dark side.
That
what was that?
Trying to rape that Northman, like grabbing that chick.
Yeah, totally, that man. And then he goes to attack Jon. That was insane.
Yeah.
And people are bringing up in the chat that white horse that Arya jumped on. Katrina Pettigo mentioned it, and Scott Aness said, or Anise says, Pale Mare, which is kind of a book reference. There was that sickness, right, that went around in Marine, I think it was, the Pale Mare.
Yeah, Marlin. The Marine, and of course the Pale Mare of the Apocalypse.
Yeah, one of the four. Marlin Bella Syria says, where did all those Dothraki come from? I thought there was only a handful left. Good question. We saw at least one company go riding off into the darkness, but I guess there was more. People were saying, oh my God, that was the end of a civilization last week. Talking, Danny sacrificed the whole of the Dothraki people. Apparently there's still some left. That's good to know, at least.
Yeah. And in this episode, we feel like what the people have always said, that the Dothraki are savages and that the Unsullied have no emotion. Everything that we've been told by the common people, we just felt like that side of it tonight. Towards the middle, toward the end of that episode, you're no longer cheering for the Dothraki or the Unsullied. You're like, what?
No, right. No. Stop them, even for the dragon. Stop it. Stop the dragon.
Exactly.
There's got to be one scorpion left. Yeah. There must be one ballista somewhere.
Yes, they're screaming, kill Drogon, somebody.
Dude, that was so hardcore. I can't believe Dany fell so hard. I mean, god damn, she fell like free fall speed.
Anybody said this was fan service just got freaking told.
Oh man.
And I'm mad. I'm legitimately mad that they took Dany there.
I'm angry too that she made those decisions, but it's so good at the same time. Like, it's so powerful, you know?
Yep, very powerful, very compelling.
You get raped, and then you get betrayed, and then you get Stockholm Syndrome with the lover, and then that person gets betrayed by a witch. I mean, like, all these things, everything that she's had leads up to the great backstory of a tyrant.
It's crazy.
If you look at it from that point of view, and then... It's the good people like Missandei that would have been there to help anchor her are gone.
Yeah, and like comes back to like the whole love is the death of duty thing. Like, it was in a different way this time. Being heartbroken just like smashed her vigilance and her honing in on her target. Yeah. You know, it just smashed her focus. Just made her lose her mind, basically.
Yeah. After Dany lands atop the wall, and then they sound the bells, and basically the city has surrendered, and we don't really see Dany again. It's just dragonfire and exploding. Right. We don't get inside her head or her point of view anymore the whole rest of the episode. We just see on the ground level.
It was hinting at that even earlier too, like when she was destroying the ballistas, we had a couple of street view shots looking upwards, and you just see like the flicker of the dragon tail going over the buildings and stuff, and that was sort of foreshadowing the terror coming up from the point of view of the people of King's Landing. Oh man, that was so insane.
I think we know why we got so little direwolf CGI.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of big expensive stuff. Man, what an episode. Really captivating the whole time. Jesse Blair says the Golden Company was gone in 2 seconds. And Sarah Ann Hargett says they should have brought elephants.
I don't think that would have helped. We had roasted elephant then.
Yeah, true. And Melinda Fraley says, poor Bronn, he's never going to get his castle. I know, right? Well... I don't know. Maybe
Tyrion
now that the two Lannisters that he ever really had problems with are gone at this point, right? So maybe he could just join Tyrion. But then again, Dany's going to want to kill Tyrion for betraying her and letting the Kingslayer go. So that's going to be a problem imminently.
What if he's the voice of reason, guys?
Bronn?
No, Tyrion. I mean, he's right there still in the city, in the ashes of it. And I'm sure he's going to watch whatever, if they have like a procession, there's going to be something they're going to have for her when she finally lands and takes her throne. We're going to get that shot. We have to at this point. I mean, we saw it in the envision we know it's not snow now. Duncan's right. That was ash.
I'm so sad to say that's true. Oh man. And by her doing too, like it would have been another thing if it was ash from Cersei. You know, something like that. But no, it's Ash from Dany wasting everybody. Dude, that moment when Qyburn goes up to Cersei and he's like, it's lost. We got to get out of here. And she turns and like takes his hand and she looks so helpless. It's like looking down at an angle and we can see just the devastation everywhere outside of the Red Keep. I mean, Danny just destroyed it all, man. Like,
yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Everything.
Unbelievable. Everything.
Heather Jameson on YouTube says the Cersei Jaime death was so cheap. And that's how I feel.
I'm just robbed.
They were in each other's arms and all that jazz, but it just, I don't know. I'm in denial. I think maybe that they're not done yet. They're going to somehow crawl out of the rubble. And I mean, that's pretty far fetched, but I just hate
Griffin
it.
Here.
Well, I mean, but to your point, Zach, I mean, you got that moment where you heard Arya scream with the flames wrapping around her and then cutscene. Now she's pulling out of the ash, all head bleeding for a second there. I mean, and they leave it to you because you got to watch Jaime and Cersei see all the rubble and like, how are we going to get out of here? And all me and my wife are thinking is, where the hell is Arya? What was that screaming in the fire? Screw these two Lannisters. What happened to Arya?
Dude, it shows her lying there for a split second. I thought she was dead.
Yeah,
then something loud happens and she like wakes up. It's like that'd be so crazy if it just Arya was just trampled and killed, and they just cut to her dead body.
That's it. They were messing with us with Arya for several times there.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, she had a touching goodbye with the Hound as well. I liked that. She goes to come with him, and he is gets real serious with her for a second and tells her, "Listen, like." Basically, you have your whole life ahead of you. You know, I've been focused on this revenge since I was a little kid. You got to think about this. If you come with me, you're not leaving alive. And he like puts his hand around the back of her head. Damn, that was such a powerful moment. Walks past her.
It really was.
And I liked how she addressed him by his name. It sort of reminded me of the bathhouse scene with Jaime and Brienne when she calls him Jaime. And he's like, Jaime, you know, and she calls him the king. Get the Kingslayer some help, you know. Yep. Finally, like, he's earned being called Sandor, even by Arya, who left him to die and has tried to kill him before repeatedly. So that's, like, sort of a redemption for him, which I thought was appropriate. And it felt good, you know, having her thank him. And she, like, he kind of acknowledges it. It was a good moment. What'd you guys think about that last convo?
I thought, oh, he's dead. I mean, seriously, as soon as he said, you know, she said, thank you. And it's like, oh, no. Like, that's all that hit my head. I'm like, oh, God, he's not going to make it.
Oh, my God. How cool is that scene, though, when he finally shows down with
how about
giant Gregor?
He cut down the Queensguard there, though, like they were nothing.
Even now, I could cut through the five of you like so much butter.
What Barristan Selmy said.
Yeah. I mean, the Hound is a very talented fighter, you know, so it's not surprising that he was able to to give, you know, do some work on those poor fellows.
Princess Sarah says, fucking die. That
Yeah,
dude, his struggle was real, man.
Yep, it was very real, and he almost got Oberyn'd.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
And that's
time.
What they were toying with us, right? They're like, oh, yep. no, I don't need this right now.
So much toying.
God, what a good episode.
So fucked up. Oh, my God. And then the mountain just busts up Qyburn so easily. Like, so simply, he refuses the order from Cersei, which was pretty interesting, showing he's still got some sort of autonomy going on in his little undead zombie brain. And Qyburn steps up to, like, try to be the enforcer, like, I made you. You listen to me, boy. But no. He does that move that I liked so much from Piss Alley with that guy. It's just throat pushes him right into the thing and then just tosses him. Oh, my God. Into the pile of rubble. It was hilarious.
On Facebook, Sarah Ann Hergert says, Qyburn's death was satisfaction. And it was, man. Like, there you go.
It was.
You created your undoing.
Yeah.
And a couple of people in one of our groups or something said that the last shot that we see of Qyburn kind of laying there on the rubble is basically how Rob or somebody found him at Harrenhal, like way back in season 3 after Tywin's army had left or something like that.
Damn, yeah, he was at Harrenhal. He was all fucked up. Barely survived that one. Finally, I got YouTube comments over here loaded up. Pete Clark.
Yeah, I can't get mine to load, so I'm just going to do Facebook. Sorry.
All right.
I got it.
Pete
YouTube
Clark
too.
is predicting Arya will kill Drogon. A prepaid faceless man kills Dany.
No, I mean it's. I don't know. John, a prepaid. That's great. John, he's. I mean, he's going to have the showdown with Dany, and or Arya is.
He's going to have
John
to.
Is he going to try and save her and like fix her, or is he and Arya going to team up against her? What? Oh,
John is a fixer.
I think Arya has rode out of town. I mean, again, I didn't watch obviously the next week on or anything like that. Too, I heard it
Me
and
either.
Started up, but yeah, it's a. It was quick. I know that's much because as soon as I turned around, like the new, I heard the previews for whatever new shows are coming out. I'm like, damn, I guess they're not giving away nothing good because I didn't hear any dialogue like normal, you know, like I'm walking away. I keep always trying to run in here to set up, but yeah. So again, prediction, I just see her riding out of town and I don't know, man. I don't want her to go back into that. I feel like if there's anything to make her go back to Gendry and be like, you know what? Yes. Yes.
Yes. After what I've witnessed, I want no part of violence anymore. I will. I
but I've already
late.
Married Lala Stokeworth.
That's hilarious.
That'd be a big step up for Lawless.
Yeah, Baratheon. Definitely. Definitely. Even if he was born a bastard. Lord Bryson of House Wolf says that the mountain also ended his vow of silence, blocking those rocks from hitting Cersei. He grunted in pain, so that was it for him. No more loyalty to Cersei after that.
No.
the vow was broken.
Yeah. So, Laurie Perkins says Dany is too far gone.
And Farad Dabadoy says Dany needs to go. Dada boy. Sorry.
We're there, right? There's no redemption for this woman at this point. She just murdered millions of people.
Yeah, so I mean, she accomplished.
Dad.
Yeah, she accomplished everything that the Mad King wanted to do. Horribly, that was horrific, man. That was horrific. I couldn't believe that when she started roasting all the people on the ground. It's like,
yeah,
what?
At first it was just the ships, and then it was the scorpions and ballistas on the walls, you know, basically taking down the walls. And how great a moment was that when the Golden Company is standing there faced off with the Northern Army and the rest of Dany's forces, and everybody's just kind of standing there. And you're like, how can they not hear all the action out in the bay? But then you see what they're doing, playing with time a little bit, and they just come from behind.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can hear for a second they do those.
Yeah. Yeah, it starts.
And they're like, what the hell is that?
Dude.
But by that point, it's too late.
When she blasted the hole through the wall there and came out to, you know, so she blew out that whole area so the Dothraki and the Unsullied could come in.
Yep.
I thought that she
that
made like
awesome.
A giant, like a giant fire pathway from the Red Keep all the way down there. But she just blew out the wall. So at that point, she was trying to not to kill people still.
Exactly.
At that point, we were still cheering for her.
Right. Oh my God, dude.
Imagine the webcam shots tonight of people watching this episode. Yes, get them. That's right. Oh, awesome. The Golden Company's done. Oh,
that's me.
What just happened?
No,
what?
No, stop. What? Stop. What are you doing? No. Babies. You're burning babies.
I got some reaction video of me. It's pretty dark, but I don't know how much of it will come out. But it was, it was just so good. And then it was just like complete disbelief that they were taking Dany down this road.
God, yeah, dude,
hurts.
So crazy. And Scott Anissa in the chat is pointing out, he says, I'm surprised Duncan hasn't mentioned that solid stretch of graphic kill shots. A lot of work went into that 5 seconds. They're like cutting people's heads off and just like,
hands
are exploding.
That was
so good.
One of the Lannister Men-at-Arms. I mean, he got slashed like Beric Dondarrion. He was like,
oh yeah, that was the start of that montage, I think. Yeah, right. Just cleaved him.
I don't think. I mean, I looked right at my wife and I was like, I love this show. Like right after that montage, I was like, I just love this show.
Yeah.
This is the best show on TV ever.
Yeah, Matthew Rep, Sir Matthew of House Rep, says, if there was a great maester conspiracy that killed all the dragons the first time around, maybe they were on to something. That's what I was saying. Remember last week I said that I'm not sure if there could ever be, you know, like a reign of peace without fear, like Danny said, if there's any dragons left. Unfortunately, can dragons coexist with humans in peace? I'm not sure.
No, they're conscious WMDs, man.
Yeah.
It's like an atom bomb with a brain.
Yeah, well, they're like powered by magic, right? And what do they say about sorcery? It's a two-sided sword, right, that can come stab back at you. It's a sword with no handle. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you got it. Oh my god! That first time too, when Tyrion goes to see her and she's brooding instead of Jon now, and when Dany's brooding instead of Jon in the darkness, you know something is fucked. And she's just like standing in front of the window, all disheveled in the map room, all crazed looking, and he's like, "I have to tell you something. There's something you need to know." And she already knows that somebody betrayed her, but she thinks it's John. Like she's like all ready for it, you know. Like, yeah, that was so sad, man.
Yeah,
really sad for sure.
What about Varys, man? The end of Varys.
Oh my god! Yeah, man. I wonder what Sir Patrick is thinking about that. Patrick has been very suspicious of Varys for a long time now. And I'd be very curious to know what Sir Patrick is thinking.
Somebody was, Matthew Rep in a group chat or something was saying, was Varys with the little girl in the kitchens, was he plotting to poison Dany? I missed that, if that's what happened.
Oh, she won't take her food. That makes sense.
Yes, that's perfect, dude. You nailed it, dude. That's great.
That's it.
Yeah, Sir Matthew of House Rep whoever thought of that, that's really a good catch. Definitely. He was trying to poison her because, yeah, like you said, like you were just about to say, I think Tyrion was like, what happens to her?
Mm-hmm.
Last episode.
He said, Tyrion says, please don't.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
and
we
Tyrion
knew.
Says, he tells the little girl, we'll try again at dinner. And I'm thinking, he just wants her to eat because she's not eating. But it's like, no, he's got other stuff going on.
Yeah, he's definitely trying to poison her. Absolutely.
Man, too bad that didn't work. That makes so much more sense now why Tyrion's like, it was me. Like, you deserve this. You tried to kill her.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, I want to read those ravens that Varys was sending out. I wonder how many he got to send before he met his fiery doom.
Started burning them. Well, what was he burning at that point then? Was he burning?
We don't know how much time had passed. Out or not.
More letters, that's all we know. And he took off his rings. What was up with that?
Maybe because he had said the greater the risk, the greater the reward. I think he left the rings for the little kids that are going to come back to look for him and he'll be gone. So at least give him some payment.
Cool. Yeah, here's something.
That's my guess. Man. It took me like half the episode to think of that. And then I was like, I bet those rings were for the little kids. I don't know why I'm laughing.
Sense.
Oh, Varys. After everything, he was right, you know? Like, so Sir Patrick is right that Varys was plotting, you know, against Dany. But it turns out that Varys was right about Dany and that she ended up being a freaking nutcase. You know, like, yeah, probably shouldn't say any examples. Oh, man, that was,
she sentenced him to death and it's the dark and you're like, okay. And then just out of the blackness, it comes.
That was so cool. Daenerys Stormborn, mother of dragons, and Drogon lurks out of the darkness behind her. That was so sick. Ugh. Varys took it like a G, too. And I liked he was, they had a, you know, had a nice little conversation with Tyrion before he went out there. They like sort of reconciled with each other, and Tyrion admitted, you know, like, it was me. I told on you, basically. I narked you out. But at the same time, they still like respected each other, that they just made different choices and they were being loyal to what they were loyal to, each of them. And neither of them seemed to be too like mad at each other about it in the end.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Would you guys agree with that?
I would, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's so shitty, man.
I know.
It's
so rough. I mean,
when they say that there is nothing but gray characters in this series, I mean, yeah.
Except for the Night King and Gregor Clegane.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's at least hints of gray to Gregor the Mountain Clegane in the books, because you learn that he quaffs milk of the poppy like ale for these like crazy migraine headaches that he gets, which like make him lash out. So there's at least some force being exerted on him that motivates his rage. You know,
well,
so you could feel sympathy
today.
On some level. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Heather Jameson says, she said it at the beginning, fear, in all caps. And Sarah Larkham says it felt like the loot train battle times 1,000. Woo!
Yep.
It really did. That was so crazy. And Sarah Hargett says she has unleashed the dragon. No going back now. No going back now, man. Next week, it's the race to kill Danny, I think. Right?
I mean, yeah,
John to be on the throne at this point, or for Sansa? I mean, what? Sansa was right too, man.
Yeah, Princess Sarah of House Von Daltrin says she knew Danny was going to do that. All the signs pointed to her losing it.
Yeah.
Last episode with that feast and stuff. Definitely from then on out, at least. Oh, that's so sad. It's like, what a tragedy and like a Shakespearean, you know, level of somebody who lives their whole life trying to do good and save people and protect people and free people. And then it's like the Joker says, you know, all it takes is one bad day. Just give him a little push, you know, and Danny descended like nobody's business. Like a literal Lucifer, you could say, like a fallen angel, yep. Spitting fire and everything. Lucifer translates to bringer of light. And I mean, mm-hmm. That's basically what the dragon is. It's just spitting fire and light everywhere. Yep. So she goes from being like this angelic figure, and she's fallen from her path of righteousness, just like Lucifer.
I want to bring up. So as far as writing goes, how hard it is to like make you fall in love with a character. We like found this mom and her child and followed their whole little micro story.
I know, that
throughout,
was so
like,
good.
Half of this episode. That was badass, man. Like, if I was making a top five or something, that would have been in there. I mean,
That's so cool.
So cool.
When it like zoomed in, they end up pinned up against the doorway, and it gets like this one little low camera angle of the mom, like, oh, quick, let's go this way. And it like skirts around, and I was like, oh, that was interesting. They're like focusing in on these.
Even right folk. There. Benioff and Weiss are like, here's these characters. Oh, cool. I'm hoping for them. Oh, thanks. You took them away from me. Cool. What Game of Thrones? There we go.
Then they save Arya's ass, and Arya gets them both roasted. Oh, man.
Oh,
so brutal.
I wonder if
watch next episode if Arya. Sorry, if Arya is still in this city. Like all the other people in the room are like, hey, yeah, we all lived in there.
Like, Princess Sarah also adds that when she liked the scene when Drogon came through the darkness too. She says the graphics were pristine. The graphics were awesome. So good. it oftentimes they use darkness to hide low quality graphics, but somehow they made this actually look really good. And I didn't see there were a few dark scenes like that in this episode, but I feel like they modified the episode after last week's compression disaster, because I didn't see any problems with compression in the darkness at all this week.
No, I mean it was a beautifully shot episode. Like, I loved all those shots. The shot where the wide shot of Danny coming in behind Arya on the dragon before it cuts to Arya screaming in the flames.
Oh, like, man.
It's so foreboding. I'm like, here it comes. This is it. This is Arya's undoing. I mean, because it's like, why are they concentrating so long on that shot way in the background? And she's getting closer.
Yeah, and then Drogon
getting closer. Oh, yep. So good, man. Cinematography is on point.
They played with us a bunch with Arya, but when the dragon was approaching from behind her, I was worried that Arya would die, and that would be the thing that pushed Jon over the edge, and Jon was going to take Danny out.
That's what my wife, Amy, she's in the chat, said the same thing, too. She's like, what if Jon finds Arya's body?
That would be so brutal.
We're on the same thing, Zach.
One of the saddest casualties of this episode, indeed of the entire series, was within this episode, the casualty, the loss of the Red Keep. Just that building itself.
I thought you were about to do a joke and say Euron Greyjoy. I really thought that, because we haven't talked about him yet. I was like, don't do it. I killed Jaime Lannister. No, you didn't. Fucking the Keep did.
Yep. Bam. At least, yeah, that's one good thing about the way Jaime went out is that Euron didn't get to take credit for it.
So do you think that the whole thing is done, or is it going to be reconstructible? Like, or is it going to look like Harrenhal when they empty it all out of the rubble?
I'm wondering how much of it is left, because, I mean, she was taking out giant towers of it with, like, a single swipe, like a lightsaber, or, like, Isao Machi with a samurai with a katana and, like, one of those reed sticks just slicing it like nobody's business. Single sweep, and it just, I couldn't believe it. Like, in that vision from the House of the Undying, the throne was there. The, you know, some of the ceiling was intact in the throne room. I don't know, dude. I mean, I feel like she roasted the whole fucking building. I don't know if there's anything left after that.
So how bad do you think that the internet is just going to rip apart the fact that Cersei gets to die in the arms of her lover?
Lady Farrah in the chat is mad about it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, Lady Farrah in the chat, Farrah D, is saying that we waited all this time for Cersei to get what's coming to her, and she dies in Jaime's arms. You know, I wanted Arya to look her in the eyes while she killed her or something. Yeah.
I'm angry about that. I wonder if George, if Dany's descent into madness was one of the key points that George told D&D about, or if they came up with this on their own.
I don't even want to know. I want to be surprised in the books.
Well, I mean,
still.
You can think about it. We were just talking about her, like, baptism by pain and betrayal and rape and all these things she went through and loss. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's going through all that in the books too.
Yeah.
Like on a more detailed level.
Yeah, man. God. I know. Just craziness, that whole thing. I haven't even looked at my notes yet to see what I have written down there to talk about. Oh, how about this? John and Arya were both in, like, full-on Ned Stark style with their hairdos. John, I noticed in particular, like, when he comes running in, he's got the half ponytail back, you know, with the hair down on the sides and everything. I thought it was so cool that he's, like, he's a Targaryen now, but he's, like, full-on Ned Stark homage mode as he entered King's Landing. And I've had, there you go, Johnny. I've had visions of, like, imagining Robert's Rebellion with that actor who played young Ned Stark, like walking through the streets of King's Landing on his way to the throne room to find Jaime Lannister in there. And it was, like, partially reenacted by Jon in this case. He never made it to the throne room, but he was on his way. And I was having, like, Robert's Rebellion flashbacks, picturing Ned walking along that same pathway, basically, yeah, with the same hairstyle and like surrounded by men of the North and everything like that. It was cool, man.
Dude, the men of the North were shitbags in this episode, too.
Yeah, what the hell happened? What happened, dude?
It's just that war rage, I guess, man. If I'm going to die, I'm going to get some real quick.
Yeah.
Just concentrate on the fight, dude. Really? You're going to pillage already?
And we, So when I guess, remember what I was trying to say with Varys and Tyrion before, how they kind of like ended in a friendship. I have in my notes here, the last line was goodbye, old friend. I think that Varys said, so that was very fitting. And we got an answer, I would say, you know, we weren't quite sure last week exactly how to interpret the John and Danny thing as they started making out when John was all drunk and she goes to like take off his pants, Blink 182 style, and he like turns on the TV, you know? So this week, basically the same thing happens. She's like, tells him she loves him. She tries to kiss him. They're kissing for a few seconds. And he's like just too freaked out that she's his aunt, I guess, right? And he steps aside and pushes her away. And I think we have our answer now that he can't love her
To cut you off.
No, that does it right there. That's the end for
me. Do you think that it's that or the fact that he's really at that point pondering what she could be? Not just that, oh, this is my aunt, it doesn't feel right. It's like, could they all be right about her? Like, should I like make love to this woman? I mean, what if she is?
Because was that after the was that after the Varys execution? Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so you could, yeah, it could be a mixture of the two.
Well, but I mean, he's already still, you know, I mean, he's got Arya and them and the Godswood, the last episode telling him, you know, we don't trust her. There's something wrong. When your sisters of that long tell you, hey, there's something wrong with this woman, it doesn't make, you know, your dick stand at attention, I'm sure. But, maybe we shouldn't do this.
It's hilarious. Your like, you know, you got, sisters you get, of that long.
Well, I mean, how long have they been together, like, up until that point? Fucking shit.
Who, Dan and Johnny?
Sansa and Arya, like, for him to trust her, like, for them to trust what they were saying to him.
As long as Arya's been alive, right? She's got to be, like, 16.
So, yeah, he's known her since she was a newborn, and I think at least, Sansa and him are, very, very similar in age. Like, she's a few years younger than him, right? Because mm-hmm. he's the same age as Rob, or a little older than Rob.
Yeah, about this. Yeah, I can't remember which one's older, actually.
But, I mean, either way, you have these two women that have grown up in your household, or girls to women that have grown up in this household, telling you something wrong with this woman. And then now she's got you by the fireplace, like, you want to kiss me? Let's do this. No.
I just roasted this guy.
you're my aunt. You just killed that guy. Give me a minute.
Oh, my God.
Let's get this
throne. As horrific and horrifying and tragic as it was, though, man, it was spectacular. That descent into madness was so good. Like, it was crazy. Princess Sarah is mentioning in the chat also that she was very pleased with how the mountain looked when he took his gear off. That was cool, too. It was like this moment. Like, there's this video game, Lords of the Fallen, and as you take down this boss and his health is getting like down in sections, each section he like knocks off a section of his armor, and then like, you know, becoming more and more mobile and more crazy, and I felt like this was a battle and a boss fight in Lords of the Fallen.
Yeah, it was a very video gamey kind of like atmosphere to that.
Yeah. You
know, like the hardest boss battle of the game kind of thing. I could definitely see that.
And that was so like awesome. Even the
like Mortal Kombat style pit of fire they fall into at the end.
Game over.
Finish him.
God, man.
This is George's ending for sure. He said guaranteed. Oh my God.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. He could change his mind. It's not out yet.
Oh, Alicia Stout is mentioning that we also saw Bran's vision of the dragon flying over the city. We got that shot and then zoomed back a little, and we got to continue from his vision, seeing it was Drogon flying over the city. So if he has seen the destruction of King's Landing, in his vision, how come he didn't warn anybody of that?
Maybe it wasn't like linear and clear to him. He just got fragments of it. So he doesn't want to disrupt the whole war off of like an idea that this might be it. Or maybe he thought maybe that's what's got to happen. Or he's completely on board and it's going completely as it's planned to in his head. This is working.
Yeah, who knows? He has a brand computer now.
Yeah, I mean, if John ends up on the throne at the end of all of this, maybe this is how it's the only way it would go down. The one possibility Dr. Strange saw.
I was just going to say, Bran's like Dr. Strange, like 14 million futures. Sorry, go ahead, Zach.
The Avengers used Dr. Strange to good effect, but we're not using Bran at all for any purpose. He's just chilling in his wheelchair talking about Daryl Targaryen building a wheelchair 400 years ago.
Wheelchair construction order with Bran.
Yeah. I want to at least learn the origin of that cat's paw dagger, like he started to hint at with Baelish. What were you going to say, Zach?
Everybody go check out AirTac Altanaz's Instagram page. He has this gnarly picture of Danny in a fucking burnt husk of the throne room. It's up right now. It's like at the top of my Instagram feed.
We're giant AirTac Altanaz fans at Microphones Podcast.
The chat.
Yeah, in my opinion, he's the number one Game of Thrones artist, drawing / painter. He is amazing. His Game of Thrones stuff is next level. I'm a huge fan. Yeah, people are saying that they noticed that it was Bran's vision as well.
And Alicia Stout saying, how did Jaime survive the stabbing that long?
Yeah. if you get a good gut stab, it can take you a day or two to bleed out and die, right?
Yeah.
And it's just really uncomfortable and slow, painful death. He's just worked his way through it to get to his girl, I guess.
That we don't really know how far, mapped out wise from that part where the little skiff was waiting for them to that part where the map's on the floor where they met. Like, how long of a distance is that if you go through that direct shortcut, that kind of thing?
Yeah, good question. Mm-hmm. Good question. Oh my God, dude. How about that fight with him and Euron? That was hilarious. So Euron is saying that he is a king. Does that mean that he married Cersei? Is that what he's claiming? That's what he's claiming, I think, man, right? Because he's Jaime says, you're not a king. And he's like, oh, but I am. And I fucked the queen too, right?
I think he's taunting her.
Just talking shit.
I feel like they would have brought that up a little bit more than just right there. I mean, to me, that sounds like a Greyjoy full of shit taunt. To get the upper edge in the battle. Throw him off.
Alicia Stout's pointing out Dany sitting on the throne in Dragonstone with the lights on each side of her was just like the scene with the Mad King when he was saying, burn them all, burn them all. She says they're sitting in the same exact position. That's worth checking out and going to look for that. If that's true, that's pretty cool.
Is she gonna just have the chair fucking throw it on the back of Drogon and fly it over to Dragonstone and rule from there?
I guess so, yeah. Dude, I cannot believe just how fast and agile and deadly Drogon was in this episode. She so stupidly came and attacked the ships right from the front again.
Talk about video gamey. That's what I was thinking. She's like, do, like frogging.
Yeah, I guess if you get down that close to him and you manage to make it that far, at that point, the speed that you're moving is just so much faster than those things can even rotate laterally that there's no way that they can hit you. Yeah, and reloading. Dude, that was crazy. And so we got to see Cersei had some custom ballistas as well with the lion's head around the ejection point, kind of mimicking Joffrey's crossbow. Probably an homage to her beloved Joffrey. Audrey Reifler says, I think Arya was like, maybe I should have just gone with Gendry, which is amidst all the destruction and chaos. Oh,
that's what I was saying earlier. He's going to go up there and be like, she's going to be like, yes, the answer's yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Audrey adds, how are we even going to get any type of satisfying ending from this? I can't figure out what could be an okay a way to come out from this.
Is there going to be one?
Yeah, right? I don't know. It's supposed to be bittersweet. So that means John has to kill Danny and everything ends up being okay, but everybody's lost the people that they love, you know?
Whole lot of bitter. I like
Brienne lost Jamie.
Mm-hmm. John and Tyrion lose Danny. Sansa loses the Hound and Theon. Arya loses everybody. Like, you know, well, I guess she could go back to Gendry, but who knows if he'd even want her at this point.
Yeah, I don't know if Arya makes it out alive. She's not leaving. I don't think she's riding out of town. She's totally having seen what she saw firsthand, she's definitely, her perspective has changed a lot. But death rides the pale mare. She is
good call.
Gods. She is the many faced God's instrument of death.
And that just signified
put that horse
it.
There for
That yeah. horse may that's tell bad. You that it's that's her that I, strikes the death blow again with Danny. For
she's
all
gonna
know.
Try.
She's yep. definitely
she's gonna make
try.
It to where something like give the opportunity for John or somebody to make that hit. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Or somebody, or John's gonna say go, and then you know she's gonna run up and
clearly
stab Danny, and it'll be in the captions.
Go!
This time.
Yeah, it won't be hidden.
Yelling, we were in the writer's room when we thought, yelling. We'll kill Cersei and the Night King. I mean, Danny and the Night King the same way. Nobody will care.
Princess Sarah says, I was bummed that Cersei didn't go down at the hands of a Stark, but I'm glad that Jaime went down in the hands of the woman he loved. It was very conflicting for me. Oh, yeah. So brutal. I liked it. Like, I mean, they got to be together in the end, and it was like a happy little happiness amidst all a bunch of horror, which was like beautiful, but also like terrifying at the same time because it's involving Cersei, you know?
For people like me who wanted to see Cersei die a terrible death, her last little begging about, you know, I want my child, I want our child to live. Like, that was her heart-crushing, soul-crushing loss right before her eventual death that was supposed to be the satisfying thing. It was like, I don't, her unborn child dying and her hopes for her unborn child are a complete different thing to me versus her, Cersei, the evil Mad Queen 1.0 and Dany's Mad Queen 2.0.
Oh, my God.
It's great characters, man. But their death left me just unsatisfied.
But that, I mean, I think that was the thing. Like I said, if people are going to say, oh, Game of Thrones is, you know, nothing but fan service now, they took that away from you. In that moment, everybody was so ready for her to eat it and just get blow like dragon fire right through her little balcony right there and roast her ass. But in that moment down there for a second, you're just like, what? You know, not like, oh my God, I don't think anybody at moments like, God, I hope she lives for her child's sake. Like she's saying, I feel that now too. Right. I mean, it's not that extreme, but you're no longer going, yeah, die, oh, yeah,
die,
kill her. You know, they took that away from you. It's like, no, we're
fucking
in control
die.
Of this story. Not you. We are. And this is how it just went down. Boom.
Dude.
I love that. I love TV that takes that kind of risk, man. It was so good.
Yeah, this was a fantastic episode.
I am in charge now.
Oh, man. But the Hound, we got to go back to talk about the Hound a little bit in that scene. When he starts walking up the steps and everything is collapsed all around them, I was thinking, maybe he's going to survive this. You know, who knows? But then at the same time, I was thinking, Obi-Wan Kenobi, I have the high ground. You know, and I was like, no, don't do it. Don't make a move, Sandor. Okay. Gregor has the high ground.
He's bigger than you. He's undead, necromanced, magic craziness. He has the high ground on steps and crumbling surroundings. It's like, oh, this is not good for Sandor.
I was surprised also that the Hound didn't even care about Cersei at all. Just let her walk out. I mean, like, he could have just, like, boom, sliced her head off. Maybe he just, like, left her for so Arya would have a chance. Figured she was dead anyway, you know. At least might as well give Arya a shot at it, right?
How cool would it have been a scene like right when Qyburn's head bashed on the rock if the mountain just went poof? like they were tied together.
Like he's powering his necromancy. He kills his master and dies, like, deanimates.
The way he looked at that hand during the meeting last season, I was like, I wonder if he's thinking, ooh, how can I make dead things that can work, you know, like this, like tie to things? I mean, you really don't know how necromancy works in this show. I mean, we learned right there that it isn't that way, because in a lot of video games and other movies, you kill the necromancer, you kill what he's raised or he's created.
Yeah, at least not Qyburn's style of necromancy.
No, he fucked up, man. Frankenstein's monster all day long.
Oh, man. Dude, I'm not convinced Gregor's even dead, honestly. After taking all those stabs to the various parts of his body and
right having through the dome piece.
Right through the dome piece. Domed out, dude. And
not even zombie rules killed him, dude.
Yeah.
He's fucking not Jason even. Voorhees.
So remember what I said this afternoon?
Oh, yeah. I say there's no way Cersei, Jaime, and Tyrion all make it out alive tonight. Yep. That was a Zach. Yeah. Prediction from earlier today. I knew it was true too. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh, he's so right about that, man. No way they're all making it out
of this episode.
Yeah. One out of three. Go ahead, Johnny.
Oh, I was going to say, like, I mean, it kind of changes the gears a little bit, but like, what is the, like, who's going into the next one now? We got Jon, Tyrion, Daenerys, like, Davos. We really knocked it down. Arya, Sansa, Brienne. Like the list just got chopped in half. I mean, there's no more Euron, no more Jaime.
Oh my God.
Who else are we missing? We got Gendry still.
Pod, it's just everybody. Bronn. Yeah. Next week just has to be them trying to eliminate Dany. It's got to just be everybody against Dany next week, right?
Or Dany eliminating everybody next week.
Yeah, how crazy would that be?
I can't wait to see Dany on the Iron Throne. There it is. Are you happy?
No. Wow. Yeah, that was crazy, dude. That was a crazy episode. Really, really crazy episode. Alicia says, not too surprising, Hound didn't kill Cersei at all. His whole arc was to kill his brother in revenge for putting his face to the fire. Yeah. That is true.
Daniel M. Rodriguez said, Grey Worm. Forgot about him. Mr. Kebabbing. God, I thought for a moment there we were about to have a Grey Worm, Jon Snow battle.
Yeah, I did too. That would have been epic.
Yeah.
I thought for sure. Grey Worm was beasting out again, dude. He was like in the zone of just like, you killed my girl. Yeah. I'm going to kill all of you.
Yeah. Straight machine. He was a killing machine.
Totally.
Yeah. Daniel M. Rodriguez brings up also the only truly emotional scene was Tyrion and Jaime. Man, that was raw, dude. That was, their goodbye.
That was so raw. Really great. Again, Tyrion's performance was amazing. Yeah, very powerful scene. Very powerful
crying
scene.
The way he did,
Yeah, and it made us think that we were going to lose Tyrion, too. It sort of like threw us off from the Jaime death. Our friend Tony Camonte, a.k.a. Purpose, from the rap group Tragic Allies, says, what a crazy episode, bro!
Right.
If you guys haven't heard his album, check it out, The Iron Throne of Microphones. We've been playing one track per week throughout the season 8. You guys definitely should check it out. Purpose is his name, from the group Tragic Allies.
Nice.
Possible title for tonight, The Bells. I'm trying
the
to
Bells.
Confirm that.
Oh, man. Princess Sarah on point, finding the episode title. If she says it, I believe it.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see. Let me clear my Glyvin.
The Bells.
clear your Glyvin.
Yeah, it's got to be the Bells, right? It all came down to the Bells. And like, right off the bat, we knew it was going to be a big deal when Tyrion's like, let them ring the bells. And if they ring the bells, it means they've surrendered. Stand down, right? And I have written
Wikipedia
in my notes something
says
like,
it's true.
What was that?
Wikipedia
so
says it's true.
Nice. HBO Go.
All right. Thank you, Princess Sarah, giving us the details. The Bells, perfect name for this episode, honestly.
Hell's Bells!
It all came down to the bells, really. Would you say closing time?
The closing music should have been Hell's Bells.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Ooh, I caught a few seconds of the closing music, and it was a mixture of The Light of the Seven and The Reigns of Castamere, and I never realized it, but they fit perfectly together, the way that they're playing in tonight's episode's credits music. Check it out. Really good.
But if they would have played AC/DC, then you would have had one more connection to... you know, metal of that time, you know, going over to, you know, from AC/DC to Ozzy. Now we're connecting more to Tony Stark, to the Starks. We're just bringing these stupid fans together.
Iron Man, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
You seen that t-shirt? I think I shared it on y'all's page where it shows the Iron Man mask and that has like basically the Starks. And it says, it's got like one half of the font is the Game of Thrones font, and the other half is like the Iron or Tony Stark kind of font.
Nice.
I just think that's funny.
Fuck yeah. I was like,
man, if they would have played Hell's Bells at the end, that would have just been like, I would have turned the TV off. Like, what are we doing? These credits are brought to you by AC/DC and Pepsi.
Oh my God.
There was a big battle in Robert's Rebellion called the Battle of the Bells where John Connington fought or tried to fight. Robert Baratheon was, I think he was injured and he was hiding out in this town. I don't remember the town, somewhere near the lands. And John Connington was trying to roost, you know, find him and run him out of town. But some Ned's army or some of Robert's forces ended up coming in and Robert escaped. And all in the books, John Connington is just continuously going back to the Battle of the Bells, thinking of woulda, coulda, shoulda. How he could have changed things, killed Robert, and won Rhaegar his throne, and so
and
on
his
and
heart.
Yeah,
totally.
Oh man,
yeah, good call, man. Battle of the Bells. I had forgot about that. Don Christensen in the chat on Facebook is saying, "Did Varys alert people about John before he died? Before he fried?" I think so. I think he was just sitting there writing letters all day. We don't know how much time elapsed between the first time we saw him writing and the last time. I think he got a bunch of those letters out, just the way that Stannis sent out all the letters when Robert died, saying that Joffrey was a bastard born of incest, basically, and the not the rightful heir. I think that Varys just did the same thing and sent out letters all across the kingdom, basically the kingdoms, letting them know that John is the true heir. And now that Danny's pulled some bullshit like this, it's going to be a pretty easy choice for people to pick John over Danny.
Yeah. I mean, it's, a lot of people have said, oh, Danny is fire and John is ice. But then other people are like, no, John is both ice and fire. He was raised in the North, but is actually a Targaryen. So, they end up the finale, the very ending, is that Danny is cast aside and John is everything. He is encompassing the whole story of
the
ice
full spectrum
and fire.
Yeah, that's entirely possible, man. That is entirely possible. Lord Bryson of House Wolf. he's saying, I guess we'll get no explanation of why Varys and Melisandre had to die together, like both in this strange land. I don't know if we'll get an explanation, but we at least know that she knew it would happen. It confirmed one of her visions is true, at least.
and now we don't got to see any more of like these, I don't understand why Danny and John just can't rule together on all those theories just got roasted.
Dude,
I love it.
That was so insane.
Love it,
like,
dude.
He, you know, he kisses her and steps back. And they're kind of looking at each other like, this is awkward. And she's like, fear then. You know, like, I guess there's no love. It's just going to be fear. I was like, oh, man.
We're going into the thing next week. Like, what's the ending? Like, okay, we root out Dani, right? We go in there and we got to destroy her. That's got to be the goal. But you know that's what they all want us to think right now. Like, I mean, just like at the end of last week, we were all like, yeah, Dracarys, burn that place to the ground. I can't believe they killed Missandei.
She did, though. She did.
She did it.
She really did. Yeah. Oh, man.
Dracarys, And Drogon,
so I feel like we have no idea how this is going to end.
Yeah, all bets are out the window at this point. Daniel M. Rodriguez is confirming L plus R equals ice plus fire. Indeed. Indeed, my friend.
Yep. They're going to write songs about me.
Black metal songs.
They'll be writing those about Danny. Burning churches.
True.
It totally, set everything off. But when there were John and Grey Worm and the Northern forces were kind of the stalemate with the Lannister forces in the street there, they threw down their swords. And then that was basically at the point where Danny had knocked out all the defenses mm-hmm. and had only attacked soldiers and stuff. She perches herself on the wall there and then ends up, of course, I was hoping she was just going to fly to the Red Keep, burn Cersei out, and then, minimal civilian casualties. But Grey Worm is seeing red, just like Danny is seeing red because they lost Missandei. So Grey Worm just chucks his spear and his own.
Yeah, basically, this is Sparta! Throws his spear at that guy.
I mean, what do you guys think about the idea that, the Knights of the Vale weren't there, right?
I'm not sure.
I don't think they. I don't think they were. I don't remember seeing any of their banners or.
What was
Royce
that first army that was lined up outside of the gate on Danny's side? Harry something Swift Strickland. Harry Strickland was that guy. So that was it. House Strickland's forces.
Well, Strickland, isn't that the Golden Company's leader?
Oh, all right. Yeah. So that was the Golden Company. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the Golden Company.
Okay, I was wondering. Derp.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about the biggest red shirts in history. I know not according to the books, but according to the TV show that we're talking about, just like, wow, look at these guys in the boat. Done. Grey Worm's first kill of the battle was like their main dude.
Oh,
it was so good. But the reason I bring that up is like, if we don't know where the Knights of the Vale are, I feel like, obviously, the way we've been setting Sansa up, because, I mean, she's been a major player since episode one also. We've seen her go through very similar stuff as Dany. I mean, they were holding hands there for a moment, talking about their mutual pain. So I know this is really hard for probably me to say more than anybody, but I am so hoping that I'd rather see Sansa on the throne any day of the week at this point than Dany. I never thought I'd say that.
I know. I was just going to say, you were just talking last week about how Sansa's never been your fave.
Yeah, I thought she was going to do something dark, go ahead and start heading south, or something like, or something was going to happen. The other thing I wanted to bring up is last week, I don't really think they showed the Golden Company at all. They showed the Lannister on top of the battlements up there when they killed Missandei, and they showed obviously Euron when they killed the dragon.
Yeah, I didn't recognize their armor.
This whole time I was telling Amy when we're watching the credits this morning, I'm like, what if the Golden Company storms Winterfell in this episode?
They're defenseless. Been crazy.
I thought that's what was going to happen for a little bit, because up until we see them charge through there and line up in this episode, we haven't seen them since their boat ride.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, haven't seen them. They took a few other iron boats around the other side of the continent, and they're about to freaking walk in and stab up Sansa and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
so Sansa. I thought something like that was going to happen. So I was really happy when old Strickland got his Grey Worm up and comings.
Nice.
Yes.
We got a good email. Safe for now. Danny's probably going to fly up there. She's going to be so mad at Sansa for telling the truth.
Don't say that.
We got a good email from our friend Lord Calvin of House Cook earlier, and he's always gets confused when we were talking shit about Sansa. He was asking me to quantify some of my positions on Sansa, basically, and I have to admit that we don't have too much reason to be very mad at Sansa. I mean, I would be super pissed as well if I had just fought a war to win my home and sovereignty back for my nation, and then some bitch on a dragon rides in out of nowhere and wants me to bend the knee.
Well, in my defense to his email, My big thing was the Battle of the Bastards thing. This season, I haven't really had an issue with her as much as...
just that she didn't tell John?
Yes, that... Oh, that still burns me, even though, you know, we're way far away from that now. Like, that part's always going to piss me off. If I do any rewatch, I'm like,
just grind your gears.
What are you doing? Yeah, it grinds my... exactly. but this season, the only thing I've had is like, why did you just tell that secret? And now I'm all like, yay, I'm glad she told that secret. You got
That's
me,
so
writers.
Yeah, right? That's hilarious.
Oh, it's so awesome. I love it when somebody does this. Like, when a show does this, when it's just not like you can sit there and go, I know how this is going to end. You know? No one could have predicted this. I mean, you could predict Danny burning King's Landing to the ground, but not in the way this has unfolded. You know, like, just her brain twisting up like the way it is. You know?
So,
I mean, you could see it like... Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, you're fine.
Since... Episodes 3 and 4 were like the lowest rated episodes of all time for Game of Thrones, basically. What do you think? How do you think people are going to react to this one? Are the people who are mad about the other stuff going to now be excited that Danny's turned crazy?
No, it's the internet, dude. They're going to bomb the shit out of it because it's not, it's just like Star Wars fans. It's not the way I think it should have been, so it's wrong. When you start reading through all these internet movie database and like, all these public reviews on like these episodes or Facebook reviews, that's almost all of it is, well, I think this episode sucked because they didn't do this, this, and this. You know, it's like, well, where did you get those ideas? Those are your ideas. You don't write on this show. I mean, this is good. This is good TV, man.
Yeah, I love like, this personally. Like, I'm pretty happy with
predict what's going to happen. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, compared to last season where it felt like everything was being kind of telegraphed, like, all right, I can see where this is going. We got these clear, defined lines. Cersei's the bad guy. Danny's the good guy. All right, cool.
I don't even remember last season at this point. What even happened last season, honestly? I'm trying to think of anything that happened in season 7. I'm drawing a total blank.
We liked Danny last season, Duncan. We liked Danny.
We liked her?
We liked her, Danny. We liked Danny. We liked Danny last episode.
Oh, yeah, the wall coming down, Dragonstone.
John bends the knee, or she tries to get John to bend the knee. Boat sex.
I guess these past couple episodes have just been so intense that, you know, wiped my memory.
I'm mad about Danny. Fuck.
She told Tyrion, next time you fail me will be the last time you fail me. What do you guys think? Is she going to get to him, or is he going to manage to escape her dragony grasp?
Maybe John and Tyrion make it out alive. Arya, maybe not. Danny, probably not. Sansa probably will. Bran probably will. But the main players in King's Landing right now, Grey Worm probably dies fighting John.
Oh, man. Is that what's going to happen? Is he going to have to go through Grey Worm to get to Danny?
Oh, yeah. Grey Worm is Danny's ride or die right now.
Yeah. Totally.
Do we still like Grey Worm at this point?
I do.
Yeah, I mean, he'll sold. So I'm good with Grey Worm, but he's defending Danny, who just...
It was a soldier who'd like waved the white flag, though. He'd already disarmed himself.
But is his rules of honor and chivalry the same as the Westerosian versus the Essos? Probably not. It's like, screw that. You killed my woman. You're done. I didn't do it. I don't care. You look like him.
Oh,
you're strange from this land,
dude. Oh, that's that. I liked the makeup they had on Arya when she was finding the pale mare and everything, with a big streak of blood across her face.
Yeah,
and she's looking all haggard, covered in dust and grime. I thought it was really effective. She just seemed like so out of it. Some of those sequences from on the ground in King's Landing were so intense. The little winding corridors and the flames just coming from all directions, and seeing the people with like burned hands and like, you could tell that they'd survived being hit by dragonfire, which sounds like a nightmare in itself.
Whoa, check this out. Facebook, Dawn Christensen. How sad for Danny if Arya wore Grey Worm's face and killed her.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
That would be awesome.
Good call, Dawn.
She doesn't use any faceless man magic. I mean, she's fought, but as far as the magic of faces and stuff, she hasn't used any of that since the twins.
Yeah, since Walder. So, our good friend Walder.
Boo, Walder Frey. And where's Bronn going to come in on all this? Danny would just burn the shit out of him. Just because.
Oh, man, Bronn. Yeah. Oh, God. Danny is a wild card at this point.
Exactly.
Derek Pachinko just messaged me on a Facebook Messenger saying he's loading a screenshot showing that the Knights of the Vale were at King's Landing.
Oh, all right. Good eye, Derek. Cool. Nice, man. Nice. Oh, yeah. And Daniel M. Rodriguez is saying in the chat, too, confirmed House Aaron was present at the siege. Timestamp 9:43, 2 frames, shields running through the busted gates. Good call,
fantastic,
brother.
Thanks.
You guys are on fantastic point. Fans. Yeah, excellent. Power is Daenerys' poison, Amberly Nicole says.
Yeah.
Alicia Stout says the show started with the Starks and will end with the Starks. I've always been rooting for Sansa on the throne. That would be crazy. Imagine the throne gets relocated to Winterfell, where the Northern Kings ruled from for so long, just because King's Landing is destroyed. I mean, the fact that King's Landing is gone basically throws everything up in the air, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean,
Flea Bottom is like,
what did they do when they captured?
So what'd you say, Johnny?
Go for it. Yeah, go for it, Zach.
I mean, if John doesn't want the throne, the capital is burned. Are the Seven Kingdoms going to fracture into their own thing again?
Well, I would argue possibly in favor of decentralization of powers.
There you go. That's right.
It's going to be the seven states when we're done with it.
What if when they capture Dany, they're like, it's like a bunch of people don't know what they're doing. They're like, put her on this pyre. All right, we're going to burn her. She's a witch. This isn't working. What the hell?
She's burned like, her perfect. Clothes off. Yeah, perfect. You've eliminated my bonds. The bindings have burned away. You've really just freed her again. Oh, Drogon is going to be a big problem. Yeah, Sarah Larkham says, what if Winterfell becomes the new capital? That'd be pretty cool. I'm hoping there's total decentralization, though. I want to see Gendry be the king of his own kingdom, Stormlands, et cetera. I hope we see a series of kings, or even better yet, not kings, but elected officials.
no more monarch.
Right, yeah, break the wheel.
That might be what John does. He's like, it's time to melt this thing down.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah. Maybe Dany did just break the wheel and stop, you know, even though she killed all these people, maybe it'll be like sort of like a Pyrrhic victory, you could say, like a victory at too great a cost where like the wheel is broken, but all these people are dead and it's sad. Or it could be like a Machiavellian type thing where like maybe she deems that it was worth it, you know, or to like slaughter all these people.
I can't see anything in her mind right now, but. Burn them all.
Yeah.
Right. In that conversation with John,
she sort of
talks about basically we're going to have to sacrifice this one generation of common folk for all the future generations to not have to live under a tyrant. That was sort of her justification for burning.
But it's not a whole generation. It's just a bunch of poor people that have no way of like, and the only reason they're there is for easier commerce and to try to get some sort of like food and things like that. I mean, that's a psycho talking. That's definitely a tyrant in the making.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Amberly Nicole says Bronn will get his castle. He will get his castle. I mean, he's got to, you know, there seems like there will probably be plenty of castles to choose from at this point with the rate people are dying.
So, I mean, dragons are, like you said, what a sentient nuclear bomb or something like that. But if Dany dies somehow and Drogon doesn't interfere in her being killed, he's away or I don't know. So maybe Jon is, like Varys said, Jon is the one person who could possibly keep the North in the Seven Kingdoms and keep it united. Mm. Perhaps Jon is the one person that's good and centered and well-rounded enough to own a dragon without fucking using it to destroy everything and be king.
Maybe, maybe. So if Danny dies, sorry, go ahead, Johnny.
I'd say to that theory of like the PTSD alone, I can't see him ever getting on one of those things again. Like watching all that, like, no, I'm good. Yeah. Got it, slayed the dragon.
Yeah, right. It's going to be like Of Mice and Men. He like mounts Drogon and like stabs him in the head or something. Look at the flowers, Drogon.
Oh, wow. He's going to Carol Drogon. Wow.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Oh, man.
Who knows, man?
What are you doing out there?
Oh. What else is there to talk about? Anything else you guys want to discuss? Oh, there was that moment. Oh, this is a good one, a good parallel that I've noticed. When before Cersei gives up all hope, even though everything is being destroyed, she sort of mirrored the way Janice Slint was standing at the top of the wall. Like, there's no such thing as giants, even though they're like standing right below him. You know, Cersei was sitting there like, the Red Keep has never been penetrated before. Like, you know, like, they can't get past the gates of the Red Keep, you know? And he's like, they've unsullied have breached the walls, Your Grace. I saw it like a...
It's still good. We're still good.
Yeah, there was like a total parallel between those two. It was very interesting.
Funny. Yeah, especially how close they were early on in the series too, or as close as he was to their family.
Yeah. He was the head of the Gold Cloaks, you know, so...
But yeah. I mean, at the same time, I mean, all the way up till Tarly got burned up, he had the same mindset. Like, this is old world mindset on things. Like, this is the way it is, you know. You know, I mean, Janus Slint, Cersei, Samwell's dad, like, all of them have, like, this, they got this crap right in front of them, and they still won't change or, like, give. It's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if she wouldn't have cut freaking Missandei's head off, we'd be good right now. Like, I really think that was just, that was it.
And then the heartbreak with John just like pushes it over the edge the rest of the way. Like, if there's any way to come back, it would have required like a nurturing John to help her through the situation. But when that didn't happen, it was just like, you know, all she had left, her only remaining tie is a dragon. And you don't want the dragon to be the angel on your shoulder, right? Because it's not.
Speaking of that.
Another thing in the very beginning, in the previously on, there was Maester Aemon saying, a Targaryen alone in the world. A terrible thing or awful thing. Uh-huh. So, yeah, we see that. Danny feels alone. I mean, John's still there, but he's not there romantically
right.
anymore.
She feels alone.
So she feels alone in the world. Yeah. And God, what a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you think back to another thing that telegraphed some of this is in that Florence and the Machine lyric video they did for Ginny of Oldstones. There's that part where he's holding like a Gret, like just grieving over her death, you know, from the battle at the wall. And it's like, okay, but you just showed the parallel of these two at the water fountain, but like when the strings and everything really comes up, that's what you're showing. And I was like, I don't think John and Danny are going to be together at the end of this at all. Like, I mean, even from back at what that was the end of episode 2 of the season. And like this, when he just walks away from her at that point, it's like, oh no, like everything is lining up now. Like these two were never destined to be. Like Egret was his love, not Danny.
Yeah, you know, damn, dude. Damn.
Fucking, like, it all starts coming together. Like, it feels like Benioff and Weiss were just sitting there, like, putting that little stuff together, you know, like, overseeing, like, ooh, put this in there. See if anybody gets it.
yeah. Bastards.
When you look back at classic love stories of this series, like, I think Duncan, man, you probably already got this on your roster, but, like, when it's all said and done, you need to, like, invite, like, a round table on for everybody to do, like, their top five of the series.
Yeah.
You know, and Gret and John's love story is like, would definitely be up there in like my top five. Like, I love, like, from the moment they meet till that moment where he's holding her. Like, that is just an awesome story within a story. It's so fucking
yeah. Cool. Great arc. Definitely. So many good things like that. Daniel M. Rodriguez is making another Star Wars parallel here. John, you were the chosen one. It was said you would destroy the tyrants, not join them. Bring balance to the Force, not leave it in darkness. Daenerys Skywalker, I hate you. Obi-John, you were my auntie, Daenerys. I loved you.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Brutal.
That's so good. Oh, man.
Anything else you guys want to add to this?
I think that's pretty much it, man.
Oh, man.
I hate this episode.
Yeah, I feel you.
Cannot wait.
Alicia Stout mentioned another good connection with the Queen of Thorns. Remember what she told Danny? Be a dragon. You're a dragon. Be a dragon. She went a little too far following that advice.
I have a hard high garden self. Good.
So. What about high garden?
Yeah. High garden's still sitting good, so I mean, she would still be happy rolling in her grave, like, oh, well, she's being a dragon, and my place is sitting fine.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so you guys ready to close it out?
Yeah, man. Yes, sir. Ready for the deep dive on this one, Duncan.
It's going to be a fun one. Thanks. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Appreciate you showing up with us live after the show. You can always feel free to write in if you want at Ravens at Game of Microphones. We've been contacted by an investor who said they will match donations 3 times. So if you like what we've done with this show, with the series rewatch and all of our continued coverage, this is a perfect time to make a donation to show your appreciation. Every contribution you make helps, and we're looking forward to continuing after Game of Thrones, covering the books, covering the spinoffs, etc. So we're not going anywhere. You guys can look forward to that. You can always reach us at 813-JOFFREY, Ravens at gameofmicrophones.com. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at either GOM Podcast or Game of Microphones. Yeah, Johnny's got it over there pointing out all this stuff. Oh, yeah, I could just read it right off of that, couldn't I? We're on BitChute, Steemit, YouTube, Minds, Gab, anywhere, everywhere, for the most part. Rick and Morty, 100years.com with Rick and Morty. You can find us everywhere. Also, make sure to check out Sirenicide, which is approaching season 4. Yeah, with Johnny Stitches down there and me. Johnny Stitches as Johnny Stitches. Me as Mayor of Morriston, Texas, Malik Husto. Thank you guys to everybody. Thank you to Lord Zach of House Bruce for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure having you on during this season. Looking forward to having you on hopefully next week as well. A major thank you to Johnny Stitches, the one and only. Thank you to John Bailey, the epic voice guy from the Emmy-nominated Honest Trailers for narrating our show or for announcing our show. Thank you to everybody who's participated in the chats and listened and kept us company and joined us for a therapy session as we talk all this through. And
shout out to Princess Sarah and Rachel. Lady Rachel.
Yeah. Thank you. The ladies of Give Microphones. Too bad Rachel couldn't join us this week. I think she's going to try to make time to join us live next week, so we can look forward to that. Maybe it'll be like a five of us if we can get Princess Sarah back on as well. It could be a big round table or pen table, I guess. Five. Pentatable.
We're going to get 7 people left.
Yeah, we need a sep table. Yeah, that's what we need for the season 8 finale. Exactly.
I was like, man, if I can't understand anything. All 7 of these people are talking over each other at once.
Yeah, there's some kind of conflict with the. I can hear it too. When you guys start talking at the same time, you both start cutting out. So it's a little rocky with that. But thanks everybody for putting up with us. There's still 13 people listening on Facebook right now, even through the thank yous and stuff. Wow, you guys are amazing. Thank you for listening.
All your friends, light it up. Let's see as many shares as we can get on this thing. That'd be awesome.
Definitely. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, yeah. Also, thank you to Purpose from Tragic Allies for letting us play his music. It was cool having him comment earlier. Thank you to Sabrina Cruz and Seven Kingdoms, who are listeners as well. Great band. Yeah, I mean, I could just keep going on forever. There's so many people who've helped us put this all on. So thank you to everybody, and we will catch you guys soon. All right, I'm going to end it for real now. All right, thanks everybody. Talk to you soon.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.